Paulie Malignaggi here for Paulie TV. Devin Haney wins the WBC Super Lightweight Championship of the World and is now a two-division world champion with a dominating performance over Regis Progre. Let's break it down. Let's have it. First and foremost, great, great boxing planning for Devin Haney. A terrific game plan in the fight. You know, going into the fight, there was a reason he was the favorite, and it was probably going to be because people felt that, you know, his footwork was going to be too much for Progre. Progre showed a bit of a kryptonite in his style in the Zaria fight, the fight he just had, where his ability or his inability to cut the distance in the right way, or in a way where he wouldn't have problems, started to really catch the eye. You started to think, well, you know, if he wasn't able to close the gap very easily against a guy like Zaria, well, how's he going to be able to close the gap against a guy with the footwork, with the smooth footwork of Devin Haney? Well, you saw that. He wasn't able to do it. Honestly, I thought Haney would win on points, but this was even more one-sided than I expected. A dominant performance, maybe a career best performance here for Devin Haney, because in a fight where, you know, you have a guy who's naturally bigger than you, even though Haney did look big, and Haney has fit in well into the 140-pound division. I'll get to that in a second. But in a fight where, you know, a guy has been has made his bones at 140 pounds, like a guy like Regis Progre, and has been one of the top fighters of this generation. You know, he's a little older, but of course, of his generation in that weight class, you know, you'd still expect a somewhat competitive fight. But Devin Haney's boxing ability just took it to another level. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, when people talk about Haney's footwork, you know, I don't want to confuse anybody with running, because he's not running at all. As you can see, he's just a master of distance. And that's the thing. That's probably DeHaney's best asset is being a master of distance. I feel like that's also why Lomachenko in the previous fight just took it to him, because you're going to box a guy on the outside when he's got this kind of physique. You know, Haney has a big, long physique. You're not going to be able to really handle it if you stay on the outside with him. So you've got to close the gap. You've got to get in close. And Progre's footwork was just not deceptive enough at all. He wasn't cutting off the ring. Subtle things DeHaney does, really. He measures well with that lead hand, you know, kind of uses it as in a fencing kind of fashion, which is, you know, very, very smart. It establishes his distance, but it's not just that, obviously. You know, he changes that from that little touching fencing to a sharp jab or a sharp 1-2. In between that, he's taking these little 4-inch steps to the left, the right, back, center, forward, you know, and he's doing that while he's changing levels. He's bringing his level low, he's bringing his height, level meaning height, he's bringing his height low, he's bringing his height high. So all of this is being done kind of around the same time in a versatile way where it's just changing things. It's sort of like, he's sort of like floating there. And in between that, he's shooting shots, he's shooting hard shots, he's shooting countering shots because he's getting programmed to reach in. And also, you know, he's picking his spots very well. And in between all of that, at the same time, he also feints in between that too. You know, so it's something he does really, really well in terms of establishing that distance. And if you don't have the deception coming back at him where you're going to break up that rhythm, dude, you're dead. You're dead. I mean, you can't just even pressure this guy consistently. First of all, you got to cut off the ring to make him sort of mentally stressed so that you can at least start to cause some friction in that rhythm. If you don't make Devin Haney uncomfortable, this is what you get. What you saw last night is what you get. That smooth rhythm where he's not really going to be bothered. He's going to be able to take control of the fight, take control of the distance of the fight, take control of the pace of the fight, and take control of the kind of fight that's going to be fought. Honestly, Progre, instead of cutting off the ring, when Haney would be circling around, instead of taking this lead shoulder and kind of cutting him off, especially in the southpaw stance that he's at, the screen is like a mirror, so this is actually my right shoulder, even though on the screen it's my left shoulder. So instead of cutting him off that way, with his shoulder, kind of beating him to the spot, instead, Progre would turn this shoulder this way, so kind of to face Haney, so sort of allowing Haney to circle the ring and when he would want to turn the corner. And again, it's not really Haney running because he's doing it in little steps. But if Haney decides to try to turn that ring and you kind of give it to him by turning this way, so now instead of boxing him into cutting him off, you're kind of boxing him in where the corner maybe is over here. Now instead, he's sort of angling towards that way. Instead of cutting him off, you're turning this way. Well, what happens? Haney's able to clearly make that corner turn, and now he's not uncomfortable again. He's going to stay comfortable again. Off that same rhythm that I explained, the jab, the change of height, the little distance, subtle distance changes, the feints, and the sharp shots in between all that. Hard sharp shots. I mean, he scored a knockdown. I thought he hurt Prograin once or twice, one or two times more as well. This was a really, really terrific performance from Devin Haney. This is a performance that I think will convince even guys like me. I knew he was a top fighter, and I would admit he was a top fighter, but it's also the kind of fight where he establishes himself where even if in the event that he would lose at 140 pounds. And if he lost last night, I would still have my doubts and say, he might have been the beneficiary of a gift decision against Lomachenko, maybe some easy matchmaking early on. But this fight right here, combined with all everything else that he's done, now, for me, it puts him in a position where he could even lose against one of the other top guys. And I'd still say, you know what, this guy's still one of the top guys. This guy's still a force to be reckoned with. Haney's a force to be reckoned with at 140 pounds. And I think he's solidified himself with the entire body of work, including that Prograin win last night, because it was also the way he was able to get that win last night against a guy who has been a good fighter. You know, you can tell me Prograin is on the decline all you want. It's still Regis Prograin. Nobody's supposed to beat him that way. Not a 34-year-old Regis Prograin. We spoke to Regis Prograin over at ProBox TV, where I work at, and in an interview in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Prograin had an extended training camp. He brought in Julian Chua, who's an intelligent trainer. It's Bobby Benton, who already was an intelligent trainer, in his corner the whole time. I mean, it was just, he just wasn't able to really put it together. And a lot of that is for the reason that Devin Haney was that good last night. You know, also, you know, when you're able to make your jab sharp, I mean, even in the first round, which was a close round, you can start to see the right eye of a Prograin already starting to redden from the sharp jabs of Devin Haney. So even against a southpaw, you know, Haney was able to be sharp even with his jab. I think training for back-to-back southpaws did help him and made him even sharper this fight, coming off a southpaw like Lomachenko, who's a little bit more versatile than Prograin, maybe not as strong, but more versatile. I think Haney became more versatile in getting that experience as well. I think Haney's getting better, and I'm seeing a fighter who's consistently improving and a very athletic fighter who has, you know, the potential to do really well at 140 pounds. The only thing at 140 pounds is this. It's not really Haney declining, because Haney's a very good fighter. But to be like, say, a unified or undisputed champion at 140 pounds, it's going to be more difficult because this weight class is so loaded. I mean, it is loaded with talent. I'd love to see Matias and Haney, two completely different styles, clashing styles, but yet two guys who do what they do in their specific style very, very well. Unfortunately, in today's boxing world, we're probably not going to get any of these fights. You know, you got Teofimo Lopez lurking in there. You know, you've got Richardson Hitchens, who's coming up as well and looking good. You've got, who else we got? We got at 140 pounds, you got Rolly Romero. Although Rolly Romero is going to fight probably Ryan Garcia. And you've got Ryan in there as well. I think Haney solidifies himself. I think it's probably at 140 pounds, the top guys are between Teo and Haney, with Matias right behind there. I mean, I'd love to see the Matias fight, because like I said, both guys do what they do really, 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 really well. It's just that they do it in a different way. Matias is the opposite effect of Haney. Haney is the opposite effect of Matias, yet both are very, very successful and very make your life very, very uncomfortable with what they do, which is why it would be a terrific, terrific stylistic clash. Personally, at this point, I think I could see Haney probably taking not a softer defense, because you don't, not really anything as a soft defense, but especially with his notoriety with the Australian public after beating Cambosos twice, I could see him fighting Liam Paro in his first defense. You know, Paro went on the undercard last night. He was kind of showcased last night against Montana Love, who's showing he was more and more overhyped every time we see him. Montana Love with a lot of talent, but no digging really in him, and he was beaten by a guy who dug in there. But I think you need a lot more than that to face Devin Haney, to beat Devin Haney. But you're being showcased on the undercard. You got a big win on the undercard. Paro has shown himself to be a solid guy, and also as an Australian, I think Cambosos, you can kind of play off of that. He's kind of trying to come for revenge for Cambosos. I could easily see that being the first defense of Devin Haney, even if I'd love to see like a Richardson Hitchens get in there and whatnot. I think Hitchens is also one of the ascending guys in this weight class, or so Gary Antoine Russell is in this weight class. This is a very, very good weight class. There's so much potential of good fights being made out there that it's going to really put boxing under the microscope here, because if a weight class with this many talented guys can't make the matchups in 2024, you got a really big problem with the sport, man. This sport got major problems because there's too many good fighters in here in this weight class for them to be just being on parallel lanes and not actually getting in each other's lane and fighting each other. So hopefully that happens. But a terrific performance from Devin Haney. What do you guys want to see him do next? And I kind of discussed what he did and the things I saw in his style and what I've seen, what I'd like to see him, who I'd see like to see him fight next. Yeah, I'd like to see him fight Teofimo as well. I'm sure some of you are going to say that as well, but I don't think that fight is as easy to make. I think they're both the top names as far as notoriety, as far as money fighters in the 140-pound division, and that's going to be a bit of a tougher fight to make business-wise, as well as for the fact that they're both across the street from each other. One's at ESPN and one's at DAZN. But listen, let me know your thoughts, guys. A terrific performance in Devin Haney, really. This was a great way to close the year for him. I think he's in the running for Fighter of the Year. I'm not sure if he can really get it. I think David Benavidez had a better year. I think if Haney would have dominated Lomachenko and then got this dominant win, I think he'd be favored over Benavidez to get Fighter of the Year. But I think as of right now, because Benavidez was so, so good against Caleb Plant and even better against Andrade, I think Benavidez is a frontrunner for Fighter of the Year. Although right behind, making a late charge, we're going to probably see Naoya Inoue as well, who got a big win earlier this year against Fulton, and now is looking to unify again in a new weight class against Topolis. So those are kind of the three guys I'm looking at that will be in the running for Fighter of the Year. But I think Haney's terrific performance puts him in the conversation. I'm not sure he wins it. What do you guys think as well? Let me know what you guys think as well, as far as if you guys think Devin Haney should deserve the Fighter of the Year in 2023. I think, like I said, he deserves to be in the conversation, but I'm not sure he quite does enough to win it. I'm Paulie Malignaggi. This is Paulie TV.